Pastor Emilio suggested that we preach on Ephesians chapter 4, so we have combined our efforts and study to prepare this message that he so graciously sought from God. And let's go to verses 17 through 32. We're going to read from verse 17 all the way through the end of the chapter. The Word of God says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way." Wow. That's not what we've learned from Jesus Christ. That's not the way we've been taught. That's not the way. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, perform his own hand with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." See that? This particular verse right there says we need to go to work, right? We need to go to work for our subsistence. We need to work. We need to labor. But you see that? It doesn't say so that you may be provided. It says that you may share. So always remember, when God places something in your hands, don't have such a hard grip on material things. Because let me tell you something. God can pry your fingers open and take it from you. So just make sure that you hold on loosely to everything that you got. Because you don't know when God's going to ask you to share some of it or give it all up. Amen? All right, that was another lanyap. I'm crazy about lanyap around here today. "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Be graceful in your speech. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Important, extremely important. Now, let's think about this. And the reason why we need to talk about these kind of things is because we need to be renewing our minds each and every day. As Christians, we renew ourselves every day. We ought to be being refreshed every day, right? And especially in the mind, because that's where it all starts. You know, it's like a cold. It starts up in the head and then it drips down all the way to your chest. See, the Word of God starts right here. When you hear it, when it comes into your ears and goes into your mind and you process it, then you start believing it and you get convicted in your heart. It all flows down to your heart. But it seems like the way some Christians are living today, the image of God in Christ that he has placed in us, and all of that goodness that he's deposited in us, is not seen. We have become so intertwined with the world, and the world has changed and changed and changed. You see, we need to be transformed, but the world keeps changing. The world changes ideas. The world changes their convictions all the time. We need to be steadfast in our convictions, but we need to be renewed. But we still need to be steadfast in our convictions while the world changes their convictions whenever they want, however they want. Now, of course, we're not just talking about the way the world perceives us as Christians, but I'm talking about ourselves, understanding that sometimes we just mar and we just kind of cloud the image of God in us as we speak and as we live the way we do sometimes. And some Christians think that the Christian life is something easy to be lived. It's just coming to church on Sundays. It's just, I was baptized when I was a baby. And you start thinking of all these little rituals and things that you do and thinking that's what makes me a Christian. But that's not it. That would be way too easy. If that's it, then Jesus was lying when he said that the way to salvation is a very narrow path, very narrow door, but the way to hell is a very huge door, which many go through. You see, if it depended on whatever you do, you make your own religion, you say, well, I did this, did that, the moon, that's it. Got it made. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. That's it. Everybody can make their own rules, which people try, and that's it. But it's not like that. We need to renew our minds constantly and be careful not to be contaminated with the thoughts of this world. Sometimes people live as if they were scared to be Christians. And you think about this. Paul was in jail when he wrote the letters to the Ephesians and Romans and many others. He's in jail. He's in prison. He can't get out. He's there for life. As a matter of fact, he never got out. He always told the people in their letters, when I get out, I want to come and visit you. I want to come and see you. But I need to get to Rome. And when I get to Rome, and then he's writing from Rome and saying, I'm in Rome now because I'm going to Spain. He never made it to Spain. I guess he wanted to go there to learn Spanish. But he never made it. He was in jail his whole life until he was beheaded for being a Christian. And sometimes you think about it. Even though he was in jail, he was imprisoned, the gospel did not stop. He kept spreading the word through his letters. He kept speaking to people. He kept sending people out from jail. He kept doing the work, and the word of God kept spreading to the point where he got to you today. His letter to the Ephesians almost 2,000 years ago, it's in your hands right now. It's amazing. Yet we as Christians, sometimes we think of all the stuff that was listed there. And you people that steal, people that are bitter, people that are angry, people that sin, people that get into sensuality and all these sexual sins. And we look at all these things and we think, well, I'm not in all of that. It's all good. But it's not. Because sometimes we're just not doing the work. Are we spreading the gospel? Are we telling the good news? With word and deed. With word and indeed. Sometimes we don't. As a matter of fact, most of us don't do it in word much. It's difficult. We get scared. And let me tell you, there's so many things that Satan can stop, but he cannot stop you from having a good witness if you don't let him. That is. Your witness, your testimony, you are in control of it. Either it speaks of Christ or it speaks of yourself or it speaks to whatever, but it needs to be speaking of the Lord. Our minds need to be renewed. The members of the church were proclaiming the gospel, but they weren't doing it just with word, but also with deed. That's why Paul is writing to them. And he's letting them know, you're not like those people. You see, those people are like this, 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 and that. But you have heard. And if you really have heard, then you need to be different. So we're going to describe here in this verse how sometimes we've been misled or believe the wrong things about our Christianity and the way we live. We need to renew our minds because we're given the wrong image sometimes. But Paul is saying, but if you know Jesus, then the truth is in you and something's got to be different. So let's look at then, what does it take to renew our minds? Let's look at a sinful mind and then we're going to look at how that sinful mind can be transformed. Okay? All right, let's do that. First of all, When you look at the sinful mind, first of all, there's four qualities that the Apostle Paul mentions here. One is a futile mind. Futile, whatever you want to say it. Futil in Espanol. Then you know what futile means? Dead. That has no life. That's not going anywhere. Simply does not have life in it. Now, in some other translations of the Bible, the word is translated the vanity of life. Vanity. But the word that is used there in the Greek means superficial. There's no depth to it. No depth whatsoever. He's saying that life of the sinful, it's just doesn't have any depth. There's nothing deep in there. There's nothing in there. It's just flat. That's it. It's like an illusion. It's something that just is wrong. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't have any depth. Now, I'm crazy about the beach, and most of you know that already. But back home, we visited so many beaches every weekend and this and that. There was one particular beach that a lot of people went to, and I could never understand why. To me, it was the ugliest and the most pathetic beach. Why? Because you would get in the water, and the water may be at your ankles, and you could walk like from here to Timbuktu, and the water won't be deeper than your knees. Now, of course, people with kids will go there, and the kids, they think, well, this is safe for kids. But guess what? I'm not a kid anymore. And if I want to put my body into the water, I'm going to have to start rolling in the sand to get wet. And you know what happens after I get out of there, right? I got sand in every crevice of my body. Everywhere. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't pay. It's no good. It's not deep enough. I don't enjoy that. I don't want to be superficial. I want to go into the deep and refresh myself. You get what I'm saying? You see, when you think about the mind that is superficial, it may sound pretty good up here, but when you try to dig into it, all you get is sand. Not even sinking sand. It's no good. But he says another word. He also says it's a darkened mind. A darkened mind. It's dark. There's no light in it. You mean there's no knowledge in it. There's nothing in it. It's like, hello, McFly. Right? Nothing in there. You've heard some people joke around, and I've done this, you know, and I'm guilty of it. You know what? Like, whenever somebody says something, and it's just, what is wrong with this person, right? It's like the brain's not functioning. You tell somebody else, you tell them, you know, I got a brain for sale. It's still in its container, and it's never been used. Right here, right? Brand new. But it's just, there's nothing in it. It's just dark. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says that the God of this age has blinded their understanding. Blinded their understanding. They can't see. They can't see. Without Christ, you're shallow. That's it. There's nothing deep in you. Without Christ, your mind is dark. There's no light in it. Number three, been excluded. An excluded mind. It means it's just separated. These are the characteristics that Paul is mentioning here in chapter 4. When you look at verse 17, it says that you don't walk with the futility of their minds. Then in verse 18 it says, being darkened in their understanding. This is excluded from the life of God. Separated from God. As a matter of fact, if you read a little further, let's see where it's excluded from the life of God because of the what? Ignorance. Don't you love that word? So offensive, yet is right. Ignorant. Don't you hate it when somebody says, you're so ignorant? Well, the Bible says there's a bunch of ignorance walking on earth. Unfortunately. I was one of them, and sometimes I want to be one. I catch myself trying to be ignorant once in a while. Now, you see, we're talking about a hardened heart. And this doesn't happen, like a next day air, FedEx and stuff like that, Express. No, it happens slowly. You see, we start making decisions that do not make sense, separated from God. We make decisions that go contrary to God's will. That's why we see the world making the decisions they're making right now. And we as Christians need to be careful not to follow along. How many of us are going to suffer persecution because all of the decisions that our government makes, and when it gets to the church all of a sudden, persecution is coming, my friends. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We are going to face some trials because of all these ignorance around us and because of all the ignorance that surround us. So we need to be careful with our decisions, being very, very careful. And you see, like I said, this is a process that takes maybe years or something to establish, but yet it leaves us insensible, a callous mind. A callous mind, no more senses. We don't feel anything. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, walk and they don't feel the sin in their lives. They start doing some things that are not right, but yet it doesn't feel as bad. Because I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as this. What I do is not as bad as that. So all of a sudden, you become calloused and insensible to what's going on. You lose your senses. You just lose it. And you don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, that insensitivity changes into delight. Because you start delighting in your sin. Then you start enjoying it. Because according to you, you see some benefit in it. And that's the way the world lives. But sometimes we as Christians, we forget that we're not of this world, that we've been separated from the world, that we've been excluded from the world and not from God. And we become insensible. Now, I want you to look at something. Because it says there that we have become callous. And then it says, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn this from God. But you see, there's another verse in the Bible in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Romans 1:24, it says, therefore, and that word is so important, just that first word, therefore. Therefore. And I'm going to tell you why in a second. God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. So people in the world use this verse to blame God for all the sin in the world. So you see, it's God's fault because he gave us over to the lust. Oh, wait a second. God gave us over to the lust of whose heart? His? Our heart. Wait a second. There's something wrong here. Now, when you look, therefore, you know what the word therefore tells me? As a consequence, see that? There's got to be a cause before that therefore. As a matter of fact, there it is. If we go back to verse 21 through 23, if we go back to verse 21, 22 and 23 of this, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts was darkened. Now see, whose heart? Our heart. Who did not believe? It's us. Who professed? Professing to be wise, they became fools. And in verse 23, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. We became idolaters. The human race simply ignored God in his revelation through creation. People ignore God. And then verse 24 says, because of all that, therefore God said, you go. You know what I mean? It's not like we're escaping God's hands or something like that. In other words, what we're saying here is because of our mental abandoned. We have abandoned God mentally. We have abandoned him completely. In our ignorance, in our foolishness. Let me give you another word. Stupidity. That's what we've done as humans. To the point that God says, you know what? You want to be that shallow? I'm going to take you to the end, but to the deep end. We have rebelled from God. So there's no other result but to be thrown and cast out into the deep. So God lets us go. But like I said, this is something that happens very swiftly and softly, and you may not notice, but our hearts get calloused, not just tomorrow, but it takes a long process. It's not Federal Express. There's always that illustration, that old illustration. You start boiling the water, and when the water comes to a boil, when it's really hot, you throw a frog in there. What's the frog going to do? He's going to leap right out. But you take that lukewarm water, you throw that little toad in there, and you start heating it up. And slowly but surely the heat gets to a boiling. And by the time it gets to a boiling, that little toad is toast. He is done because he's been there enjoying the water. Keeps getting warmer and warmer. When it starts boiling, then you have frog legs. And that's exactly what happens to us. You see, with sin, little by little, it keeps heating up and heating up and heating up until we end up boiling in the pot of God's judgment. That's very bad. We become insensible, you know. We lose the fear of God. And therefore, if I don't feel fear of God, then I start doing things that go contrary to the will of God. See, the mind of the sinful is superficial, no discernment. It's darkened, separated, ignorant, hardened. But there is hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you look at verses 20 and 21, it says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. So if you have heard of Jesus and if you have believed Jesus, if the truth of Jesus is in you, then there should be something different in you. And let me tell you, truth is only found in Christ. He is the truth, period. You know what that means? That outside of him, everything is a lie. Outside of Jesus, when it comes to convictions, everything is a lie, period. And the truth is that we're all sinners. We're lost. We need repentance. We need a Savior. We need Christ. We need the truth. And in those verses, 20 and 21, it's telling us that if the truth is in our lives, then our minds must have been transformed. We must think differently. We must act differently. We must live differently. And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you and does that, and you believe that truth, then these three things start happening. Look at verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. I mean, don't deceive yourself. You gotta get rid of the old self. You gotta get rid of the old self. So this is there's three things that Paul tells us here that need to happen in our life in order for our minds to be transformed. Number one, we need to lay aside the old self. You need to lay aside the old self. You need to lay aside the old self. Please hear me when I say this. Lay it aside because it is corrupt with foolishness. I mean, it's just lies. Think about your old self before you became a Christian. Liar. Deceitful. Now, some people say, well, I wasn't that bad. Yes, you were. If not, you wouldn't need Jesus. Simple. It's just that people don't see it on the outside, but on the inside, oh, my God. See, he searches, he knows, and he sees. In Romans chapter 6, it tells us that the old self has been crucified and it has been buried Therefore, we need to lay it aside. Let it go. Let it go. Let go of your old self. Every time you start thinking, I remember when I used to, shut up! Don't tell me. I'm guilty. Especially when you get with some good friends, you start thinking of things you used to do and say and think, and you start talking about them. And all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you start feeling some delight in talking about those things. You start feeling satisfied about it. I remember when I used to, oh my God, that was bad. But it felt good. Well, I mean, I wasn't a Christian. We always end up those conversations, but well, that was before I met Christ. That's all of a sudden the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, that's not you anymore. Lay aside the old self. Oops. Right? We have to be very careful. You see, we have to let go of all that old stinking thinking that we have. You're not the same if you're in Christ. You are not yourself if you're in Christ. You are not the self that was born out of your mother's womb. You've been born out of the Spirit. Now you're a different person. You're a new creature, a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, all things are new. Because you've been made new. You're a new creature. And if Jesus is in your heart, then you don't have to be thinking about these things and about these things in that way that sometimes we do. We don't have to live like we used to. We're supposed to bury the old self. Bury it. To never be resurrected, please. Now, think about this. Let's use our spiritual imagination for a second. I'm walking down the street. I'm all messed up. My life is in shambles. I need something in my life. Jesus comes in front of me, right? We go like, whoa, who is this? I bumped into Jesus. And all of a sudden, he starts speaking to me in truth. Of course, like he always does. And then all of a sudden, I realize that I'm dead. I'm toast. I'm frito, bro. That's it. I am done. So that conviction comes over my heart. And then he tells me about what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, that you have to die to self. Die to self. Die to self. So I'm like, okay, David, I'm about to kill you right now. So I slain old David. He is done. He is dead. But check it out. Colossians 3:3 says, you're all dead because your life is now what? Hidden with Christ in God. So it's no longer me, it's him. My life is hidden in him. When you look at me, you should see Jesus first. I'm behind him. Wow. But sometimes I like to get in front of him or next to him or on top of him or everywhere but behind him. We have to be careful. And then all of a sudden I say, okay, Lord, I give you my life right now. All of my desires, all of my ideas, all of my thoughts, everything that is within me, I lay it all aside right now, all of my sin. And Jesus says, good, you're dead. Let me give you a new life. Now pick up your cross and carry it every day. And I take my cross and I say, wait a second, Jesus. And he says, follow me. I'm like, wait, Jesus, just one second. And I take the cross and I lay it back down. And I take my old self and I boom, boom, boom. And I nail my old self to that cross. And then I pick it up and say, okay, now let's go. Carrying my old thoughts, carrying my old ideas, carrying my old desires, carrying my old sin. And that is going to weigh me down. That is not the cross that we're supposed to carry. Some people think that they need to do penance, something. Some people think they need to do sacrifices and everything. Some people think that they have to carry with the shame and guilt and all of the resentment from their lives. You don't have to carry that. That's already been nailed to the cross by Jesus. And you need to bury that and leave it down there. Don't nail it to the Christian cross. Don't nail it to the cross that he's asking you to carry. Don't nail it to your new life. Leave that aside. Leave it alone. Let it go. Let go of your old self. Now, from verse 23 and 24 tells us the second thing that we need to do, and that's put on the new self. So you get rid of the old self. You bury it. Look at verse 23 and 24. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Righteousness, holiness, and truth. Those should be the three characteristics that follow you. When people look at you, that's a righteous person. That's a holy person right there. You think about that? You ever thought about that? Those are the kind of things that people need to see in you. The truth is walking by, and there goes Cookie. Holiness is walking by. There goes Jessica. You think about all these things. Righteousness is walking by. Oh, there goes Gina. Each and every one of us. Wow. But we need to clothe ourselves with this. We need to put it on. See, God now has done his part. He's redeemed you. He's purchased you. He paid for you. Now we have to learn to dress ourselves in holiness and righteousness and in truth. We need to change our garments. We need to change our garments. When you look at the book of Revelations at the end of the age and the beginning of eternity and the new created heaven and earth and all that, you see that it talks about the saints or the people of God dressed in white robes, which is the good deeds, their testimony, their lives. That's what we need to think about. Now let me tell you something. When you're born again, the Bible says that you're a baby. You're just starting. Now think about a baby. I see a little baby carriage over there and babies all around, you know, in church. Now let me ask you something. Well, since you have baby up here, do you take, you pick the clothes for your baby, right? And you get all happy. You get all the colors and coordinate it and everything. You're like, ooh. And you take all that clothes and you lay it on the crib. And you leave the room and you wait for your baby to change clothes, right? Yeah, of course. That's not the way it happens, right? That baby needs help. Well, as we grow in Christ, we need help. And God is willing to help us. And he's the one that helps us to be clothed in righteousness and in holiness and truth. He's the one that's helping us. But my God, there comes a time when you grow. There comes a time when that baby's going to say, Mama, I don't want to dress like that. I want something different. Oh, no, I'm not putting that on. Now, of course, then you have to battle them into their clothes. But there's going to come a time in which you're no longer going to pick their clothes. You're no longer going to dress them. They're going to have to do that on their own as they grow. Amen? That's the same with us. When we start a new life with Christ, we may need all that help. But there comes a time, my goodness, don't expect God to come over and put your belt on and your pants and everything else. You got to dress yourself in righteousness and holiness and truth. That's your job. God has done the work of, you see, redeeming you. Now it's time for you. He's giving you the life. Now you need to live the life. All right? Now when you grow, you not only learn to get dressed, but you also learn to pick the right clothes. Because you've been taught, hopefully. So think about all that. Now think about Jesus. When he came to the tomb and Lazarus had been in there for 4 days, he stunk already. He was stinky, putrefied. Yet Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of there. And I love it. I love it. I love God's sense of humor. Lazarus was wrapped in all kinds of cloth and you know, embalmed and everything with all these spices. Somebody get this thing off me. Can you think of Lazarus? You see, we have this image that Lazarus came out of the tomb like, oh, that was Jesus. That was not Lazarus. See, Jesus, man, God has a perfect plan and he cares for all the details. See, Jesus, when they went into the tomb, everything was folded in Jesus' tomb. Everything was like a hotel, you know, phew, done. But with Lazarus, he had to have help. And Jesus said, unwrap him takes those deadly clothes off of him, unwrapped that guy. And you know who unwrapped him? The people that loved him and around him. You see, you got to let people love you too. Sometimes people got to help you. Sometimes you got to accept people's help when you're tangled up in your sin. Think about that. He said, take him off and let him go. Let him go. Now, he's not saying just let Lazarus go. Bye, Lazarus. No, he's just saying free him. Free him. And you know what? When you lay aside all of that junk and you clothe yourself in righteousness and truth and holiness, you'll be free. You'll be let go in Christ Jesus. See, it's not enough to just die to your old self. There's got to be a resurrection, amen? It's got to be a resurrection and a manifestation of a new life in you. We take off all that garments of death, all that embalming, and we redress ourselves with the grace of a new life. But we have to do that with the help of Christ. And last but not least, you have to reject sin. Reject it. In verse 25 says, therefore, laying aside falsehood. This laying aside is very similar to the laying aside that was mentioned before, you know, with just burying it, leaving it out. But it has a connotation also now that to reject, because remember, you're no longer plagued by death. But don't let that get to you. Don't let sin get to you. You're not dressed up in sin anymore, but don't let it get to you. Don't let it get close, is what it's saying. Paul starts mentioning some of the sins in verse 25, like falsehood and anger not well channeled or angle that is mishandled. You can get angry all you want to. You know God gives you permission to get angry? Don't fuzz at people for them being angry. Anger is good for the soul. But you got to learn how to use your anger, because when you don't know how to use it, that's one of the most destructive things that God doesn't like and that Satan loves. Okay, so it's stealing and vain words or words that do not edify. And then it talks about bitterness and again anger. Oh my goodness, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Evil. Malice means evil. Note that for each and every one of them also, Paul mentions like a spiritual truth that contradicts all of these. And he says, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God has forgiven you. He talks about also, in verse 27, I think it is verse 28 says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor. You see, he gives us a truth. He says, do not steal. That's bad. But let me give you a truth. Replace it. This is the principle of replacement. And in the word of God, you have to do replacement. And in order for your mind to be transformed, you need to work on the principle of replacement each and every day. You have to replace bad with the good. You have to replace lies with the truth. If you don't, you will never be transformed. You see, don't give the devil an opportunity, says in verse 27. See, in verse 26 says, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. It gives you a solution. Do not harbor, do not cultivate anger. Because if you let it sit there for too long, it'll grow roots and it becomes bitterness. So it gives you some truth to contradict that. We have been sealed for the day of redemption, he says. God has forgiven us, he says. See, those are spiritual truths that you need to hang on. Those you don't reject. You reject sin, but you need to appropriate of these things. You see, rejecting is the key. There's no sin in this world that should have a place in our hearts, as small as it could be. We need to reject every sin with the power of the Holy Spirit. If we belong to the truth, then how can we give in to lies? Even at the smallest lie. I love this. I love this. I love this. Jesus said, Satan is the father of all black lies. No, he didn't say that. He's the father not of all black lies, but also white lies. He's the father of all lies, Jesus said. Now you think about this, and I love it. I heard this one time, and it just stuck to me. See, think about this. If Satan is the father of all lies, and you adopt lies in your life, what do you become? A child of Satan, because he is the father of all lies. And then Jesus said, but you are not, the devil's not your father. Praise the God of heaven that he is your father. So be truthful. Amen. Be careful with lies. Also, not just adopting lies or doing the wrong thing, but also being neutral. As Christians, we cannot be neutral. What happens to a car that stays in neutral? Anybody can move it, push it, dump it, do whatever. As a Christian, you cannot be neutral on those issues, on any of the issues in life. You need to either be black or white in a matter of it's written, it is. It's in black and white, that's it. It's done. There's no gray areas with God, right? There may be some things in this book that you don't have a straightforward answer, but there's always a principle of truth in this Bible that helps you deal with every situation in life to come and say, that would not be something that God necessarily be pleased with, right? There's always a good principle in there. So be careful with lies. Be careful with your anger, because the Bible even says, the Apostle Paul says that our anger does not work the righteousness of God. We do not accomplish the righteousness of God by our anger. Only in God's wrath, his righteousness is accomplished. Do not steal, because that is the essence of the old self, to take, to be selfish, to have. Do not give the devil room. I know, Laura always tells you girls, right? Don't let the devil live rent free in your mind, right? Don't let him live rent free. Matter of fact, don't even charge him rent. Let him out. Eviction. He's out. Don't let him in. And do not, it says that do not contrite the spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. This starts in the heart and in the mind. What is it that grieves the Spirit? One word. Sin. Simple. So you know that already. You see, do not grieve the Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know what the day of redemption is? The day of redemption is the day when you're going to face God, when the Holy Spirit is going to say, Raul, come with me. I'm going to take you to the Father. Right now. Have you seen that X Factor or American Idol and all of that? When they come in the back and then the back room said, Paola, it's your turn. You're like, going before the judges, right? That's the day of redemption. Now look at it. It's not the day of, you can see it as a day of redemption or you can see it as a day of judgment. See the difference? He's saying that's the day of your redemption. You'll be redeemed that day, Raul. You don't have to worry, Paola, because that's your redemption when you face him in Christ. That's the big difference. Very important. So you've been sealed for that day. You've been marked. All you have to do is show your seal of approval, the Holy Spirit in your life. So the mind of the human being is full of malice and evil and sin. It's superficial. There's no depth to it. It's darkened. Separated from God, completely insensible, because it's dead. Mind without Christ is dead. But the Apostle Paul says that if you are in Christ, you have been given the mind of Christ. And there's going to be a day when the Holy Spirit is going to present us before the Father. And that is the day that your life will be judged, and you will either receive grace from God or punishment from God. And I just hope and pray that each and every one of us find ourselves laid aside of the old man, of the old self, clothed in the new self, and rejecting sin and living for him and only for him in righteousness and holiness and in truth that is in Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior.